Good morning. I'm sorry I took my mask off. Now you'll have to look at my face. We don't have to. You can look at your Bible if you don't want to look at my face. In Luke chapter 20, Jesus is tempted by the Pharisees, or actually the Sadducees, and they come to him with one of those ridiculous hypothetical situations. They talk about a woman who was married to a man. He dies, she marries his brother. He dies, she marries the next brother, all the way down to the seventh brother, and then she dies. And they say, well, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Well, Jesus doesn't really answer that ridiculous question, but he does say something about what it's going to be like in the resurrection. He said, the children of this world marry, in verse 34, and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, which he called the Lord, when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. So it brings up the question, where are the dead? What happens when we die? And so, you know, the Bible really is the only source of information where we can look to and find the true answers concerning where are the dead, concerning the state of the dead. You know, atheists and philosophers and scientists and a host of other like counselors are completely unable and are ill-prepared to answer what is one of life's and eternity's most vital questions. You know, the Bible is the only source which we can turn to for true answers concerning the origin and purpose of man, of our existence. Why are we here? Since the Bible is the only thing of divine origin, the Bible alone should man look and appeal for answers. And so no other source of information out there will give us the answers that we ask to the question of where are the dead? You know, it's important for us to understand and have a correct assessment of the nature of man. You know, we preached on this maybe a couple of months ago, something about the origin of the soul and things of that nature. And so we're going to touch about that, the destination of the soul, really, is what we're going to look at today. But as long as man continues to perceive his own origin as the product of evolution, he's never really going to pay attention to what the Bible has to say about it. And that's the world around us. You know, many have bought into this idea. And so we must begin with examining this question with what is the nature of man? What is the nature of man? There are only two reasonable answers to this question. Either man is entirely and physically and only physical. Just this physical being, there is no other existence to it. When I die, my body's going into the ground and nothing else is going to happen. And so man is either entirely physical or he is possessing both a spiritual and a physical nature. Even though there are some that actually deny that we physically exist, that we are all just our bodies and all the material things around us are all just figments of our collective imaginations. We are just spiritual, intellectual entities that are just floating around in something or nothing. But man is either physical and mortal in nature, and that's kind of a ridiculous idea, but either, you know, man is either physical and mortal in nature, or he is a dual being. And so that's what we need to understand. There are two parts to man. The Bible teaches that man is a composite being possessing both a spirit and a physical body or tabernacle, as it were, in which the spirit resides throughout the life. That people have physical bodies will not be denied by any clear-thinking people. In addition to the physical nature of man, mankind also possesses the image of God, who is a spirit being. In Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea," and so forth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We are made in the image of God in that we have a divine spirit, or not a divine spirit, but we have an eternal spirit, an immortal spirit, actually, not eternal. We'll get that right. There are a lot of concepts there. The Bible amply demonstrates that man has a composite nature. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 15, notice here says, Daniel says, "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body." And so notice, he was grieved in his spirit in the midst of his body. He is indicating that there is a spirit within his body. You know, the Bible addresses the inward or the hidden man of the heart and makes a contrast to the outward man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul wrote, "For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4 talks about, "Let it be the hidden man of the heart." Let that adorning be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And so our adornment is to come from the inside. And so there is the dual aspect of man. And so we need to understand that there is our physical body, and then there is that spirit, that soul. Now, what is death? You know, death is the separation of the composite being of man into his component parts, both the body and the soul, the separation of the soul from the body. Therefore, Peter referred to death as the putting off of the tabernacle. Notice 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13 through 15, he said, "Yea, I think it meet," or fitting, "as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." He says, "I'm going to put off this tabernacle, this tent, this temporary structure." And notice he says, he's going to decease, he's going to die after my death. He's talking about the separation of the soul from the body. And James chapter 2 and verse 26, he says, "For even as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Don't know how to disable Siri. took over my iPad for a second there. And so, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. When the body and the spirit are separated, that is what death is. You know, in Luke 23 and verse 46, it says, "And when Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." Giving up the ghost signifies the departure of the spirit or the soul from the body. And so he's talking about death. He died. You know, miraculous resurrections also, which we read about in the Bible, further illustrate that death is a separation of the soul from the body. In 1 Kings chapter 17, talks about the widow that Elijah raises her son. There in verse 21, it says, "He stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." So the soul had separated from the body, but the soul came back to the body and he revived. Then in Luke chapter 8, also it says, that, you know, again, this is a raising from the dead. In verse 54, it says, "And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meats." And so again, we see these resurrections that the spirit entered back into the body. Now, incidentally, spiritual death is also a separation of man's spirits from the Spirit of God. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 1, tells us, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness." That's spiritual death, separation from God. But death is a separation of the soul from the body. So that brings us then to the question, where are the dead now? Where are those that have died? Where are they right now? Well, generally speaking, they are in the hands of God. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was," that's that physical body, "and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." You know, the dead are not annihilated, as atheists or others teach. So where are they? If they're not annihilated, where are they? You know, Jesus said that God is the God of the living, not of the dead. Talks about Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still living. Where are they living? Where are they? You know, are they in purgatory? Or are they in heaven? Or are they in hell? Or are they in Hades? You know, I can tell you in about 5 seconds all that the Bible says about purgatory. Not a thing. Not biblical at all. There's nothing biblical about purgatory. That is, you know, a man's doctrine that was made up. Now, concerning heaven and hell, or heaven and Hades, or hell, heaven, and Hades, those are three separate things we're talking about, and we'll get into that in just a moment. The Bible teaches that men will not enter into the eternities of heaven or hell until the final judgments. You know, you hear people say, "Well, you know, so-and-so, he went to heaven." Well, no one, no human being, no soul of man is currently in heaven. No soul of man is currently in hell. That's reserved until the judgments. And so we're not, when we die in this life, we don't go directly to heaven. We don't go directly to hell. Where does man go? You know, and look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to begin there in verse 13. Here he uses a metaphor about death, those that have gone to sleep. It says here, "But I would not have you to be ignorant," beginning in verse 13, "brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or those that are dead, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And then in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You know, neither heaven nor hell presently harbors the departed spirits of mortals. The Bible, though, teaches about a place in which departed spirits awaits the end of time and the final judgments. The abode of both the good and the bad spirits of men who have departed this life is a place known as Hades. Now, we're going to be looking at some passages, and we're going to be looking from the American Standard Version. You know, the King James Version translates two different words in the New Testament as hell. The American Standard, the New King James, and other translations separate those two words. And so in Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, here is the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and we'll get into that more in a moment. But notice the rich man, it says, and in Hades. This is a transliteration from the Greek word Hades. So in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. There's a separate part of Hades known as torments. We'll get into that. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And so we see that word Hades there in Acts chapter 2, verse 27 and verse 31. On the day of Pentecost, Peter talks about, because thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. And verse 31, for seeing this spake he of the resurrection of Christ, that neither was he left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. When Jesus' spirits departed from his body, when his he gave up the ghost, his spirit went to Hades. Just like when men die, we go to Hades. In Revelation 20, verses 13 and 14, we'll go back to all the way to verse 12. Actually, let's go 13 and 14. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, and that word there is Hades, death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell, Hades, were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. For whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so notice that those that were in the grave, those that were in Hades, they are judged, and then they are put into, they'll either go to heaven or they will go to hell. You know, the saintly spirits, the faithful ones, abide in a chamber referred to by the Lord as paradise. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, you know, to that thief on the cross, that one that was penitent. We jumped ahead there. Luke 23, verse 43. Apparently, my PowerPoint's not what I thought it was. But Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Where Jesus was going, where he was departing, where his spirit was going to remain until he resurrected, that's where the spirit of this penitent thief was going to go, into paradise. And so this is a division of Hades, known as paradise. That's where the faithful ones are found. But in the division of Hades, there is a place of comfort, which is a foretaste of heaven. But there is also a second chamber called torment. Look over in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19 to verse 31. 16, 19 to 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. So it goes on and says that this man died. Both of these men died. That the Lazarus, the beggar, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's that paradise that Jesus is talking about, that place of comforts. But notice it says the rich man also died and was buried. Doesn't say anything about angels carrying him anywhere. It says, and in hell, that's Hades, He did lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus on his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He says, I have five brethren, that they may testify to them, that they also come to this place of torments. And so he goes on there. But we see there are two portions. You know, the second chamber in Hades, you know, there's one called Paradise, or the Abraham's bosom, where Abraham, the righteous dead, reside, where they're still living, by the way. And then there is that place called Tartarus. Holds the departed spirits of wicked men, and also the devil and his angels, awaiting the resurrection of the final judgments. And 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, it says here, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to, this word here is Tartarus, to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgments. And so again, this provides a foretaste of eternal hell into which the wicked will ultimately be thrust. And so as we look here, this chart that someone has put together from World Video Bible School. You know, you have the saved, they enter through the narrow gates into paradise. On the day of judgment, they're rewarded with heaven. Those that die lost, in a lost situation, they go, the ones that have gone through that wide gate that leads to destruction, they are in the place of torments. On the day of judgment, they're going to be condemned and they're going to be cast into eternal hell. And so this is where the dead go when they die. There is a place set aside. You know, the day of judgment is not a day in which we find out whether or not we were righteous or unrighteous. We're already going to know that when we depart from this earthly life. The day of judgment is going to be the day where we receive our eternal reward, our eternal punishments. And so the dead are there. They are still living in some fashion. Their life is different than ours. Their experience is different as ours. But let's ask some other questions. You know, what about the dead? Are they conscious in the grave? Now, I remember reading a horror story when I was a younger person. You know, about a boy that was able to talk to the dead. They were in their graves. They were trapped in their graves, and they couldn't get out, and he was able to speak to them. And so it was like they were residing eternally in their grave, trapped. But they were conscious. Now, that's not what the Bible teaches, certainly. But the Bible does teach that they are conscious. There is consciousness in Hades. You know, Abraham was conscious. This rich man was conscious there in Luke chapter 16. So it teaches conclusively that the dead are conscious. You know, there is this idea that's out there of soul sleeping that, well, you know, we just cease to exist for a while and God's going to bring us back into existence later. We see here, as Jesus taught, there is consciousness in death. The dead are conscious about their past lives, about their present states, and the eternal judgment that is awaiting them. We will be conscious there in death. Now the other question is, will the body be raised? You know, yes, the bodies of those who have died will be raised at the end of time for the great judgments. Again, John chapter 5, 28 and 29. They that are in the grave shall hear his voice. They're going to come forth. Those that have done good to the resurrection of life, those that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. You know, Acts chapter 24, verses 14 and 15 says there, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they called heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves shall allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust." You know, the resurrected bodies will be changed and endowed with an incorruptible, immortal nature. Don't know exactly what that's going to entail, but in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, says this, "For this I say, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." We're going to have a body, a spiritual body. We don't know exactly what that's going to be like. We have no experience with that. There is no way for us to really understand what that is. But it's not going to be a body that can face corruption. It's incorruptible. It is not flesh and blood. It is a different body. But it's a body that we're going to have in the resurrection. It's going to be like Christ's resurrected body. So the body will be raised, thus changed and united with the spirits. Punishment will be meted out, or reward will be given according to how we've lived our lives. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And then finally, we want to ask the question, will there be any future recognition? Will we recognize one another in Hades? You know, there are some incidental statements in the Bible that imply there will be future recognition in heaven. There will be in Hades. We saw the rich man. He recognized Lazarus. Somehow he recognized who Abraham was as well. He could see he had recognition. He was conscious of his family members that were still living. He was concerned about them. And then also, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "And I will say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." You know, they're still going to be who they are. Also, in Revelation 6, verses 9 and 10, it says here, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Seems to imply that these martyrs are going to have a recognition of who they are and who they were and of what's going on the earth, at least as far as wanting God's justice to take place. And so the body will be raised. We will have consciousness in the grave. We're going to be raised from the grave in a bodily resurrection of some sort, a different body than we have now, different type of body. And it seems to indicate that there is going to be recognition of who we were and who others are. Now, there's a couple other words we need to understand. You know, the Old Testament word Sheol and the New Testament word Hades, though variously translated, you know, as grave or hell or even the pit, represent the place of departed spirits awaiting the resurrection. And so Sheol is the Old Testament or the Hebrew equivalent of Hades. And so you see that in the Old Testament translated as the grave. You know, another Greek word, Gehenna, also translated hell in the King James, is the eternal place of torment. So there is a difference between Hades or Sheol, the grave, those that sleep in Christ, and the place of eternal abode of the wicked, which is Gehenna, which is hell. So careful Bible study enables one to distinguish between when Gehenna is translated hell and instances where Hades is translated hell, as in the King James Version. You know, departed spirits cannot, though, alter their eternities between death and the universal resurrection and final judgments. You know, there is no place like purgatory where the sins are expiated and eventually they get to go to heaven. You can't change that. There is that gulf that is fixed between the one that Abraham spoke of. Hence, the punishment of the ungodly precedes and also follows the final judgments. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, where are we at? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Those that are like that rich man in the story of rich man and Lazarus, those that are in that place of torment, they are being tormented now and they have only to look forward to eternal torment in hell. Likewise, those that are in paradise, they have nothing to look forward to except the glory of being in the presence of God for all of eternity. They're blessed with a foretaste of heaven. Lazarus was comforted. Now, I hope it is that when each one of us depart this earthly life, if the Lord hasn't returned by then, when we depart this earthly life, we go into that place of comfort. We go in that place where this man Lazarus is, where Abraham is, where all the righteous dead reside. We cannot change our fate once we've departed this life. Only in this life do we have the opportunity to make preparations for the next. And we know this life is fleeting. We know this life, it goes by so fast. Today, if you're here and you're not in Christ, don't let this day go with you outside of the body of Christ. Today, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to put on Christ in baptism. If you are here as a Christian but you haven't been faithful, we urge you to repent. We urge you to come back. Today, if we can help you to respond to the Lord's invitation, let us know as together we stand and as we sing.